Welcome to the February 23rd sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and the sermon is entitled One True Gospel, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
And what a message today. I'm looking out at faces that understand and know those tears. And God knows your situation, and I'm grateful that you are here worshiping God today. So as we gather, let's break open the bread together. Galatians, go to your New Testament and find the book of Galatians and open there as I begin today to talk to you about a new study. Sometimes you've got to just come back to the basics of things. Sometimes when, in order to move forward or to continue on or maybe even to hit the reset button, you've got to come back and center yourself on the very basic things. Maybe we understand that with children. Sometimes children need a little time out so they can remember the basics of listening and understanding. Amen? As adults, sometimes we need to just come back to those basic areas of understanding. And there is one thing that I want us to look for throughout this study in the book of Galatians. It is one thing, and that is simply this: the gospel. That is what we're looking for. We're coming back to the basics of what is the gospel? What does it mean? Why is it important? Why do we live for it? Why do we believe it? And why do we understand that, yes, Jesus changed my life, so now he can change your life? That's why I'm passionate. And I told you a little bit earlier, I'm passionate and I'm ready to get in this pulpit. Someone that is passionate about Jesus, you know that. If Jesus touched your life, you ought to be passionate. But this letter, as we center our lives on it, it may be familiar. It is written by someone that we all know, have read through, by Paul, but to a group of churches in Galatia of Jewish converts and Gentile converts. And they have disagreements, and they have issues, and those issues come up. And we're going to see those over the next couple of weeks. But there is one main issue that we're going to look at together today. And I want everybody to understand this one issue: how quickly the church left the true gospel. If I could boil this book down to one verse, it would come from Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 11, and that says this: the just shall live by faith. If I could boil that book down, boil the book down, that's what it would be. The just shall live by faith. But here's the overarching question: how do you know that you are the just, and what is faith that we should live by? Because the culture has distorted the gospel. And they have added to and they have taken away. And here's what I want you to see in 2025, how we can relate to this book. Culture has distorted the gospel, and churches are preaching their own gospel, and people are dying and going to hell because of it. That's why I'm passionate about the gospel, because Jesus changed my life and he can change anybody's life, and the world needs to hear that message. And so today, I titled this sermon, The One True Gospel. If there is a church, if there is a preacher, if there is a ministry that preaches something outside of what the gospel is, you better pack your bags and get out of Dodge. I don't care if it's a denomination that you've been a part of your whole life, get out of Dodge. I did that. But that doesn't mean the Baptists are the best. Because there are some Baptists that are falling for a false gospel as well. And so, church, this is a challenge to the church in Galatia, but it is a challenge to our church. Not that we are the best, not that we are right, but we stand on the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And so today, three quick points. We're going to dissect this together, and I hope that you will stay with me. Open your Bibles, Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The first thing that I want you to see today is I want you to see a divine deliverer. A divine deliverer. Now, I want you to understand that the gospel is so powerful. And you're going to hear a little bit of this in the direction and the vision of our church a little bit more and more through some of these sermons. But there are three principles that the gospel should allow us to do. It should allow us to know the truth. It should allow us to grow in our faith. And it should allow us to go make disciples. That's why we gather together as the church. But the gospel is what is behind all of those things. As he opens up this letter, Paul does, with a brief introduction of himself. We're looking at the year AD 49, somewhere in that picture. But he writes a letter with instruction to churches that he is concerned about. But he writes as an apostle. You notice that in verse number one. And now he has to address this word apostle. It is a title that is given, but Saul carries that title well. It may be like you and I, whatever positions we hold in the church, my prayer is this: I don't care if you're the pastor or you are the janitor, your roles in the church are the same. To bring glory and honor to God. So I don't care what position you have. My prayer is this: that we hold those positions, responsibilities, with all glory to God, doing them with our very best. And Paul has to defend what that word means. Many of you know the story of Paul. If you don't, I encourage you to read Acts chapter 9. He was Saul. He was a wayward son. He was killing Christians. And then he encountered God. He encountered Jesus Christ himself on the Damascus Road. And his name was eventually changed to Paul. After that encounter with God, Paul was called to preach that gospel that he believed. Now, let me tell you this. If you have encountered Jesus Christ, your life should be changed. That should have been a life-changing experience. And on the heels of that, you are then called to serve and live for him for the rest of your days. So I'm looking at a church full of people. I don't know if you're saved. You know if you've encountered Jesus as Savior. Only you know that. I had that encounter at 15, and it changed my life. Look, I didn't want to preach. I ran from it until God got a hold of me. Preachers are not one of those jobs you come out of school saying, "Yeah, I think I want to be a preacher." My boys are in the process of 11th and 10th grade trying to figure out what they want to do in life, and here's what I told them: don't you dare be a preacher. Unless God calls you. Don't be a preacher because your daddy's a preacher. God's got to call you to that. And there are giftings and talents throughout this room that you can do that I can't. There are places you can go that a pastor will never get. And here's what we're called to do. We're called to live out our faith in those places, ministering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that's a lot to say, but here I'm going back to that word, apostle. That word apostle is a designee, a representative. And here's what Paul says: that title is not given by man. So it's not a man-given title. It is given by God. It's not man's declaration. It is not man's decision. But it is Jesus Christ who called him to this position. There are many that covet titles, that covet position because of power. That is the wrong reason. If somebody desires something of the Lord, they need to do it because they are called. And Paul says, man has not given me this position, God has. As he has this title and this calling by Jesus Christ and God the Father, he greets these churches with the traditional greeting of grace and peace. Look at verse number 2 and 3. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Notice that is plural churches. There are multiple churches there. Grace and peace be unto you, and grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So what this letter would do, this letter would ride the circuit through the churches of Galatia. It would be a letter from Paul of instruction, of rebuke, of challenge, but he greets them in grace and peace. And many of you have heard Pastor Mike explain this. You understand and you know this. You must know the grace of God before you receive the peace of God. And so they are divine ordered, as Paul writes them. You cannot have peace without the grace. And so today we see this greeting, a double blessing from a single source, that is God Almighty. Now, Paul is the one addressing the church and addressing the issues, and he has this divine message to the church in Galatia, and he immediately points to the greatest deliverer. Look at verse number 4. He says this, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is not one writing because he is an expert. He is not writing on his own opinion. He is not writing because of the position he holds. He is writing because he knows the answer and he knows what Jesus did in his personal life. There is no greater testimony than your testimony. How Jesus changed your life. I could tell you about a teenage boy that tried to run from God. I could tell you my story, but some people need to hear your story. And you're the only one, you're the one that God has sent to tell them your story of how God has changed your life. So Paul writes knowing this, not that God might work, that God could possibly work. Paul writes knowing this, God will work if you stick to his word. Church, look at me. God will work in our lives if we stick to the truth of his word. As we look at this introduction from Paul, it is the truth of Jesus giving himself for our sins that is central to the gospel message. And my prayer is this, that the gospel message will be central to everything Clifford Baptist Church does. If we go on a mission trip, the gospel should be the center of it. If we start a new ministry, the gospel needs to be the center of it. If we preach or open the word of God, the gospel needs to be the center of it. And because of that gospel, we come to know the word of God, we come to grow together, and we go make disciples for Jesus Christ as the church. That is the picture. But the divine deliverer, Paul says, it's not about me, but it's about what Jesus Christ did in my life. Look at verses 6 and 7. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, normally Paul would jump into an area of thanksgiving, maybe something that good the church is doing. He would thank them for what he was doing. In other letters, he did that. Here in this letter, he says, no, there's nothing to thank you for. Not that way. But there's something that needs to be addressed immediately. What have these churches done that could be so bad? Point number 2 is this. I want you to see a different doctrine, a different doctrine. As Paul jumps into this charge against the churches, what makes him astonished? What shocks him? He uses the word in verse number 6, I marvel. You need to circle that word. What would make somebody so taken back or so awestruck from what a church is doing? Don't answer that question. There are times in today's time, I read the news and I look at what churches are doing, what they are affirming, and I marvel. I marvel at what the church is doing. The church should not do these things. But what Paul says is, I marvel in verse number 6 that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. How quickly did you fall away? I've preached, I've taught, you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know those things, and you have departed so quickly. The language here, so soon removed from him, is a turning. And I liken one illustration, that of someone as such as a turning coat. Maybe in the sports world, you are a Washington Redskins fan, and soon I learned that you are a Cowboys fan. And you so soon turn from that because you lose a couple of games. I'm looking at Linda Christopher when I'm saying that. I want y'all to know that. She's not going to turn from Washington. I know that. But here's what I want you to know. There are some fair weather fans, and you know them. When the team gets going down and not doing good, they're ready to look for another team. But are Christians the same? Are God's people the same? When you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior, it didn't promise you a smooth road to heaven. Your work just began. And so the first bump in the road, you're like, oh, I don't know about this Jesus. And the second bump in the road is, I don't know about this Jesus. And the third bump in the road, you're saying, no, this Jesus isn't for real. How quickly do Christians turn? And that is the issue in which Paul has a big deal to write about. They have a different doctrine that they are believing. Real quickly, I know I've got to speed up. I need to show you a couple of things that are important. The first thing is this. What happened? All right. Woo. All right, right here. I don't know what happened. I hope it was good. There are a couple of warnings that we must pay attention to. Listen, Christians should know the gospel. Now look, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. You should know the gospel. Now it should not come out of the head. It should come from the heart. That's the difference. The gospel, write this reference down. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Today, if you don't know truly what the gospel is, put these verses in your memory and in your heart. And I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 as Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And then it goes on to tell how he was seen by many others. That is the message of the gospel. So Christians, we need to know the gospel for ourselves. That word, euangelion, is the word good news. It is the word for gospel. We must know the good news for ourselves, and we must be willing to share it for others. God has done so much through his son, Jesus Christ. As humans, we have fallen short through our sin of the glory of God. And that sin must be atoned for. And the answer or the payment for that is the perfect, sinless person of Jesus Christ, who took our punishment to our cross. He took our death payment, and through mercy and grace, he not only died for us, he rose on the third day to give us life. That is the good news. Yes. Listen, that must be the center of everything we do. Why do we have an Easter egg hunt? To tell the good news of gospel. Why do we have a fall festival? To share the good news of the gospel. Why do we wake up early on Sunday morning, get dressed in the best that we have for that day, and come and worship together? Because Jesus changed our lives. Why do we go out on Monday morning not really wanting to go to work, but going knowing that God will give us opportunity to share that gospel? What was so different about the doctrine? Why did Paul have issues with this church? Because they were adding to it. And over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear a little more about that, and you're going to hear a little bit more about it in just a minute. But not only do you need to know the gospel, the reason you need to know the gospel is there will always be trouble and twistings. Someone will twist the gospel around. It started from the very beginning with Satan, and here's what I believe with all my heart. Wherever God is at work, Satan isn't far away working as well. And Satan is near. He will twist everything he can to distort the gospel message and to get people away from the truth of God. The third thing you need to know is this. Very sincerely, I want to say this, not in a judging way. Just because you walk an aisle, or just because you pray a prayer, or just because you get baptized, or just because you attend church, or just because you give to the church, or just... I'm not here for you to doubt your salvation today. I'm just here to say this. The gospel must be central to the Christian's life as it is lived out every day. And there are times when we think that that is just because we do this action, we're saved. Listen, actions don't save you. Jesus does. And the only thing you need to do is open your heart to the truth of the gospel, believe it, turn from your sin, and follow Jesus. You will be saved. So church, the church in Galatia left it, added to it, watered it down, and that's why Paul is upset. Here's the warning for us today. Be careful of the different doctrines that slide in through the church door and try to take over what we believe. That's why everything must be measured. Every teacher holds a standard. What a challenge, church. What a challenge. There's one other point I want to give you, verses 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. I want you to see a doomed deterrent. Sometimes we have to put up deterrents to make people act right. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. There's a speed limit on the road for a reason. That speed limit is for people like me. But that speed limit is a deterrent, right? We don't want a ticket. I get one amen in the corner back here. Thank you, Sharon. I know I'm not the only person who got a lead foot in this church. Why do we have to put cameras up? Why in Walmart? You can't go down an aisle in Walmart without somebody watching you. I go and visit people in the hospital. There's a camera at the bottom of the bed making sure they don't get out of bed. Cameras are deterrents. It makes you act like you're supposed to act. These two verses that I just read mark territory that is sacred to God. This is not Walmart. This is holy ground. And here's what marks the holy ground in these two verses. If any other gospel than what has been revealed is preached by anyone, anything, anybody, they are accursed. And then in verse number 9, Paul says, if any man preach any other gospel to you than you've received, let him be accursed. Notice the reference to an angel here, a messenger, an angel. It could be anything, anybody. If they preach the wrong gospel, they are cursed in God's eyes. So the deterrent on the holy ground is this: the gospel must remain the gospel. And if anybody adds to it or takes away, they will be accursed with the wrath of a holy and righteous God. Paul's warning comes in these terms, saying this: the one that takes away from the gospel will be banished to hell and suffer for eternity. Now listen, those are not my words, those are God's words. For the one that misleads or mispreaches this gospel, the warning is very plain and clear: the reality of separation forever under the wrath of a holy God. I wind down this sermon today simply asking you this question. As a member or an attendee of Clifford Baptist Church, what do you desire? What do you desire? The desire for me as your pastor is the truth of Scripture is preached and spoken in every ministry. But not only that, it must be lived out day by day. We're not perfect people, and I know that. But to the best of our abilities, we must live out the message that we love and that we preach every single day. I want to know Jesus myself in a deeper way, but I also want others to know Jesus as well. We must desire to be a people transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the heart of the Christian. And so today, I challenge you with the question: what do you desire? And here's what I believe. I believe it involves just getting back to the basics of what we believe. Let's come back to the gospel this morning. And in a time of invitation, this invitation is for every person here, people that are watching live stream. Let's get back to the basics of this gospel. Has Jesus changed your life? Have you encountered him? And are you living it out in this world day by day? If not, here's what I want to do. I just want a bunch of Christians just to say, Lord, help me to do it better today than I did yesterday and tomorrow than I did today. The issue with the church, you've gotten away from the truth that is the gospel. God forbid that ever happened here. Today, if you are here, maybe you are hearing the truth of the gospel for the very first time. And here's the reality of life. You cannot do it on your own. The Bible says our hearts are deeply wicked and sinful, and our lives are in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ loved you enough to die your death. The criminal's death, so that we could have life and life eternal. Today, if you need Jesus Christ, Here's the truth. He loves you. He died as the atoning sacrifice for your sin. And by faith, if you will trust him, turn from your sin, and follow him, he will save you today. That's not the twisting of a pastor's arm. That's got to be the work of God. How is God working? And what do you desire as a Christian today? This is just sermon number one of a great book that gets us back to the basics. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, today, thank you for this message. God, you have impacted me. You have challenged me in so many ways over the past 3 weeks. God, I pray, Lord, that the church will be ready to meet the challenge. I pray that individuals will just come back to that time when they met God, they were on fire, they wanted others to be saved. Some people in this room have lost that fire. God, reignite it today. Lord, for a ministry, Lord, I pray that you will give us eyes and ears that are open to those that need to hear the truth of what we have and what we know. God, make us a people in our community that love people to Jesus. Give us opportunity, I pray, for that one that needs you in this room today. I simply pray they will come to Jesus. Lord, you do the work there, and God, we'll give you the glory. Whatever happens now, Lord, this is your time, your invitation, your moment. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will work in lives in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.